I'm very happy today to see all of you here and have the honor to present this section to you. Today I'm going to talk about the Supreme People's Court of China. Of course, it's a very brief introduction. If you have more further questions afterwards, you can always approach me or raise your hand during the talking. Maybe you will first notice one thing about this topic. It's People's Court. Actually, we have Supreme Court in almost every country, but in China, we like to add peoples in all our state organs. It's a very special thing, so it's a kind of focus. So, I forgot to introduce myself. My name is Wang Yuan. Wang is my family name. Yuan is my first name. So in China, we do it otherwise. I'm doing my PhD dissertation under the supervision of Professor Titie. This summer, I went to the Supreme People's Court for my internship. So I got some basic understanding of this court. So I want to do a little bit introduction to it. The other thing you can notice from the board is this badge. It's a badge of the Supreme People's Court. It's very small. In the center, you can see a weight. It means balance and justice, like many, like the goddess of justice. Down the badge, there are two things. Maybe you cannot tell it directly. The two things on the edge are from the air of the wheat. It stands for farmers. And in the middle, it's a gear. In a factory, it stands for the workers, for the factories. It's a very idea that China is a country who stands for the interest of the farmers, of workers. It's because China is led by the Communist Party. Communist Party think they are representatives of the proletariat, not the people who own property, but as poor people. I want to introduce the Supreme Court in four aspects. The first one, I want to introduce what is the position of the Supreme Court in the whole state system. When you think about Supreme Court, maybe based on your background knowledge, you will think Supreme Court is the supreme judicial body in one of the three pillars in your state, parliament, the courts, and also the government. But in China, it's a little bit different. So if you want to have some understanding of the Supreme Court, you need to know what's the position of the court in the whole state. The second, I want to introduce why the supreme position of the court in the whole court system. The third thing, I want to introduce the inner organization of the Supreme Court, how it's working, what it's composed of. And in the very last, we will explore together, is the court in China really independent or not? About the state organ, this is a Chinese state central state organs. The National People's Congress is like the parliament in your countries. It's a supreme power organ of China. Nothing is in its balance. And the president is elected by the National People's Congress, and it's only a symbolic role. He signed papers the Congress gave him, and he signed other like proposals for laws the National People's Congress gave him. But sometimes you saw Chinese president, you feel that this guy is really powerful. He is powerful, but he because he has other roles, which I'm going to introduce later. It's not because he's the president of the nation. Under the National People's Congress, there are four pillars. You can see the red part is the Supreme Court, which I made it to be more obvious. There are three other things. The first thing is State Council. State Council is central government. Like you can also see our Premier Wen, the Prime Minister. He is the leader of the State Council. And the second one is a central military. It may be a little bit odd for you to see the military in a state organ, but it's the way it is. It's also led by the National People's Congress, and it's also a very important organ of the state. Then there are people's court and people's prosecutor's office. These two are the judicial part of this country. The court hear cases, which, as you know, it's the same function. The prosecutors, they stand for the country to prosecute crimes. But in Chinese national system, these prosecutors are also supervising the work of the Supreme People's Court, also other courts. If the basic courts or other courts violated certain kind of rules, these prosecutors can force the court to retry again to achieve justice. Then this is the building of the National People's Congress. It's a very big, because every year we have at least 10,000 national representatives to go there to have this conference for 2 weeks. So it has to be, you know, a huge containing capacity. This is the inside picture of the Congress. You may notice the ceiling of the Congress is very unique. This star, along with many other stars in Chinese architecture or symbols, has a very special meaning. It means the Communist Party. So you can see all the small lights are surrounded with the star. It means that everything in China is led by the Communist Party, and everything we do is surrounded with the party. For example, the star also appears in the national flag of China. The star in the middle means Communist Party. The four other stars means Chinese people. You know. In the Constitution, Article 62, there are 15 items. You don't need to dig into it. It's not necessary. I just want to present how many articles are there for the powers of the National People's Congress. Basically, there are three functions. One is legislation, to amend the Constitution and legislate other basic laws. The second one is appointment of the important positions of the country in the government, the court, and the prosecutor's office. They are all named by the Congress. Also, they examine and approve this national progress, this national plans for economics and other things. The last one is decide on important things like war and peace. I missed the last one, the 15, Article 15, because it's a flexible article, it's nothing. So it's other functions should be carried out by the National People's Congress. So it's a supreme power organ. Nothing can compare to it, you can see from this. As I mentioned, I want to also talk about a little bit of the Chinese president's role. This one is the old president, the former one on the left, and the right now, the one President Hu on the right. So why is this president powerful? Because they have triple roles. Firstly, they are the state president under the National People's Congress. They sign papers, so whatever National People's Congress give him, he sign. That's the role. But the second one, he is also the chairman of Central Military Commission. Central Military Commission is, I mentioned here, the second pillar of the state organ. See, he controls the army. But despite the army role, he's also the general secretary of the Communist Party. If you have some basic idea of a Communist Party system, you will know that general secretary is the highest position in the whole Communist Party system. So there is a little bit overlap. So you can see, obviously, the army is controlled by the party. This is from the very beginning of Maoist time. Mao said the political power rises from the baron of the gun. So Communist Party always controls the army of the country, and that is why the Chinese president has so powerful position. Then we talk about the Supreme People's Court. According to Chinese Constitution, Article 127, the Supreme Court is the highest judicial organ. It supervises other basic courts. So now you can understand that the Supreme Court is only one of the four pillars under the leadership of the National People's Congress. It's not one of the three important pillars in your state system. Then I will introduce the system of Chinese courts. First one, we have some special courts. Supreme Court, of course, it's a supreme body. No other court is higher than that. Otherwise, it's not the Supreme Court. At the beginning of the People's Republic of China, we had four courts. The maritime courts, they hear the disputes about the sea, and also the railway forest courts, and the military courts. The military courts hear the disputes inside the People's Liberation Army. So because they are army, they are under different management system, so they need also their special judicial body. But the railway court and forest court sounds pretty strange in the court system, so later they were cancelled as well. Then the hierarchy of the Chinese courts. Chinese courts are divided into four layers. The Supreme Court on the top of the pyramid, then from the bottom, it's the basic court. The basic court is in the small towns or some district of a big city. After that, it's intermediate courts. Then at every provinces, at the capital of every provinces, there will be a high court of this region. Although there are four layers of courts in China, you can only appeal twice. For example, if you start, you file a case at the basic courts and you are not satisfied with the result, you can only appeal maximum to the high court. You cannot appeal until the Supreme Court. Yes, please.
So high court would basically be in charge of, for example, like the Guangdong province, or what would the separation be?
There is only one high court in the Canton province. So it's like the Supreme Court inside Canton. Yes, yes. Okay. These functions of these courts are also like jurisdiction. There are a lot of articles in Chinese civil procedure, like 30, 40 articles about this jurisdiction division. I don't want to talk about into details. But usually, if you talk about civil case, the different cases are heard by different courts because the value of the object. For example, the Supreme Court, they only trial dispute at least for €1 million dispute. And the basic courts, like they can trial like €500, you know, it's dependent on the value of the dispute. But in different regions, China is not developed very balancedly. So in some regions, it means rich for another region, but in another region, it doesn't mean so much. So it really depends. I cannot give you an accurate number about different regions. Now, I'm in the third pillar about the third part of the presentation, the organization of the Supreme Court itself. I wrote something really briefly here. Here is the function division based on what kind of case the different tribunals heard. So if you want to go to the Supreme Court, you want to file a case, you need a case first. So you first need to go to the case filing tribunal. Say we have this and this, we need a case. If it is proved, the case filing tribunal will decide what kind of nature is this case. Is it civil, criminal, administrative, or, as I mentioned before, we have a procurator's office which can supervise the court to try again. In that case, they go to the supervision court, a tribunal. So there are four kinds of tribunal here. But with such a huge country and such huge caseload, we have many, many tribunals, small tribunals inside these branches. For example, in civil tribunal, we have four branches. The first branch is for marriage law and family law. The second branch is for commercial law, for example, like insurance, like advertisement, like security law. And the third branch is especially for intellectual property law. The fourth branch is for foreign-related civil disputes. Talking about the criminal court, we have five branches. Except for one special branch for, like you want to overrule the ruling of Communist Party of China, then the second tribunal of the civil, of the criminal court will hear you. The other four tribunals, out of five of the criminal part, they review the death penalty, because death penalty is legal in China. Every year we have a large number of death penalties. But these death penalties, maybe they're made by intermediate court or high court. They need to file these submissions to a Supreme Court to value for the last time whether there should be a death penalty. So there are four criminal tribunals. They are in charge of different regions of China, and they are in charge to review these death penalties. Maybe you have some, I speak two more sentences about death penalty here. Although China has death penalty, but it doesn't mean if you are sentenced to death, you will be decapitalized immediately. Actually, if you are sentenced to be dead, you don't get dead immediately. You will be observed for 2 years under special supervision. If you don't violate criminal law again, you will get a life sentence. So actually, the death sentence as a name doesn't, it means actually life sentences. In the summer, I did my internship at the fourth civil branch. It's for foreign related civil disputes, which I think will be more interesting for you. I'm sorry, I missed one part. Despite these different tribunals, there are other administrative organs inside the Supreme Court. For example, the first one is compensation office. Sometimes the state violated civil rights, and they need to compensate to the different individuals. Then this office will calculate how much they need to pay for the individual. The second one is the Enforcement Bureau. Of course, you know, once the court made a judgment, it needs to be enforced. And the third one is very interesting, which I'm going to talk further later. It's the Party Committee of the Supreme People's Court. So in every state organ of China, there is a Communist Party Committee to supervise the activities of this organ. Then there are General Office, Political Department, or other things. There are like daily work, administrative paperwork, or monitor chamber, like they have the hire police to work for the courts, to guard the order of the court. This is the door of the Supreme People's Court. Actually, it's look, maybe it doesn't fit into your imagination of the Supreme Court. It looks very ordinary. Also, it's the office, nothing special here. There is very funny that when I work here, every day there are some people screaming in front of this door. These people are from different villages or regions of China. Maybe they met some injustice treatment in their life. So they have this vague idea that if they go to the Supreme Judicial Court, they can get justice. So every single day, almost, there are people screaming here. Some newspapers report this as an aggregation of the inner dispute of China. But actually, from my point of view, I think it's a misunderstanding of the function of the court. Because for hundreds of years, in the feudal Chinese society, when a subject is violated, I don't know, in his rights or he met injustices in his life, he can always go to the emperor, passing several severe tests, and he can meet the emperor himself and ask the emperor to trial the case for him. So these people still have this feeling that whatever kind of problem they met with the government, the local government or the local court, they can always go to the Supreme Court as an emperor to hear the case again and give them final justice. I was talking to this police guards who guard the door, because they have to talk to these people every day to calm them down and send them away and not intervene the inner order of the court. He said one time an old lady was almost out of rage. So an old woman, you can imagine, suddenly undressed herself and wrote something injustice on her own body and running around here. So it was really, fierce. There was a very prestigious criminal law professor in Beijing University, one of the best law universities in China. He did the research, said, who these people who wants to appeal to the Supreme Court and other central state organs? According to his study, about 90% of them have mental problems. So after that, he was attacked by these people. And the Beijing University was also surrounded by these people. Every day, they want protest. They want them to take back his words, we don't have mental diseases. Because this professor is a little bit bold. So at that time, all the workers who don't have much hair at the university were physically attacked. So here I'm going to talk about the Fourth Civil Tribunal. The function of the Fourth Civil Tribunal is to recognize and enforcement of foreign arbitral awards, deciding the validity of this foreign-related arbitration agreement. And also, they hear dispute about maritime dispute, letter of credit, and other foreign-related disputes. As I'm writing my PhD thesis about international commercial arbitration, so this is very interesting for me. Basically, if you want to file a case against China, and if the case is valuable and important enough, your case will be heard by this tribunal. A tribunal, usually a court tribunal, is formed by three judges, and they will hear the case and discussion afterwards and report to the chief of the Supreme Court, then give their decision. Maybe you want to know about Chinese judges, in who, what kind of people can work for the Supreme Court. First, you have to get a bachelor's degree. According to my observation, you don't need necessarily a law degree to work there. Also, second, you have to pass the state exam for civil servants. So as a judge for a court, you are employed by the state first. Despite that exam, you also have to pass your professional exam as a judge, or maybe also as a lawyer, or maybe also as a state procurator. Then it's a state exam of law. I asked many judges that never worked as a lawyer in their lifetime. They just graduated as a bachelor student and passed two exams and became a junior judge. I feel very sorry about that, because I think if you only spend your lifetime in university, then afterwards a court, it's like you don't, there is a lack of experience in your resume. These judges, although they hear foreign related disputes, they don't, not all of them speak proper English. Then have a translator office to work for them. The salaries is around 1,500 euros per month. It's not bad, but not very good in China, in Beijing. They have other welfare, like they have free food from the court. They get a nice apartment in Beijing, which worth maybe 1 million euro. Also, they have a free medical care, which is not a national treatment now in China. The work is really relaxed. They go there 8 o'clock in the morning and work until around 11. Then they go to lunch, have some tea, have a rest, then start work again at 2 p.m. And 3 hours later, they are discharged. It's a dreamy work somehow. If you don't have more ambitions in your life, it's really a great choice. Here is the president of the Supreme People's Court. You can see his name is Wang Shengjun. He got his bachelor degree in history. Then he never studied law for a single time. He is also a member of the Communist Party Central Committee. This central committee decides all the important things of China. So you can see that this president has a very strong party political background. And he is treated as a vice premier. Premier means a prime minister. So you can see at the beginning of the chart, there is the State Council, here is the Supreme Court. But why the Supreme Court, the President of Supreme Court, is not treated as a premier, but a vice premier? It means that the court doesn't have the same influence or the same treatment as the government in China. So if you want to get an ideal job, you will try to work for the State Council first rather than the Supreme Court. Here is the last question. I also like to make this open and discuss this with you. Are Chinese courts really independent? Actually, it's not easy. There are four obstacles for these courts to get independent. The first one is finance. The finance of the Supreme Court is controlled by the Financial Ministry. So the wages, the budget each year of the Supreme Court is calculated by the Financial Ministry, and they give you a certain amount of money. You can only use this amount of money. And for example, court also accept fees for the trials, also for the enforcement. This money are not put in the court account, bank account. They are put to the bank account of the Financial Ministry directly. So you cannot control your own money. How can you be independent? The second one is employment. As I said, if you want to be a judge to work for the court, you need to pass the state exam for civil servants. So you are first hired by the Ministry of Personnel in the government. Then they passed you, they think you are qualified, then you can work for the court. If you are going to fired, you're also going to be fired by the Ministry of Personnel, not the court. So the court cannot fire you. The third one is the intervention from the National People's Congress, because it's a supreme power body, the supreme power of China. The Supreme Court every year have to report to the National People's Congress what they have done in the past year. So some representatives of the National People's Congress sometimes maybe get very passionate about one case. They can have significant influence to the outcome of the case. Here I have to talk about who are the representatives of the National People's Congress. China, despite people say it's capitalist or not, it's led by the Communist Party. So the Communist Party are leaders for the proletariat, for the poor people, for the workers and the farmers. So who can represent our country? These farmers and the workers in the factory. So they are the national representatives who work in the supreme state organ. Not every one of them get proper education. Not everyone are expertise in law, although they legislate a lot. So these people, they don't have a understanding of the independence of justice or the respect in the independence of court. So one time there was a very famous gangster. He was very powerful in one region and he offended many people. During the court trial, there were not enough evidence to sentence him because he was very smart, he was always behind, he asked the people who worked for him to do bad things. So there were not enough evidence to sentence him. But the representatives of the National People's Congress got angry. They said that he's a bastard, we want to kill him. So the court, without enough evidence, sentenced this guy to death. You cannot say the court are independent in that case. The last one is the party committee inside the Supreme People's Court organ. So if you have a party committee work inside you, everything of you do, you have to report to the committee. It's not easy to have an independent decision on many other things. If Chinese people's court, Chinese court, need to get independence one day, then there must be a huge reform in the state structure first. But it's not going to be easy.